OTC is go.
Bracket boost is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Brightside Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, and Diane, we're just 1 week away.
Yeah, and for the next week, my stomach is going to be in my throat. Just, I mean, I know in my heart that Trump is going to win, but it's going to be a nerve-wracking day.
Well, it's going to be a long week. Next Tuesday night, Right Side Patriots 2020 election coverage right here live. We'll go on the air at what, 7 o'clock, and we'll be on till March. That's when they'll get the final count done.
No, I think we're going to be able to call it Tuesday night. You know, not definitively, but if all of certain key counties in the swing states report in, I think we could make a pretty accurate guess. We've done it for 6 years. We've always been right when we've called elections, and I think we'll be able to do it again.
Well, and I'll tell you, there, a lot of it, we're going to figure it out here in the next couple of days, because there are court cases that are making their way through the Supreme Court right now regarding extending time for counting ballots. And yes. The one in Wisconsin just failed yesterday, yep. I think it was. So they've got to have all their count done on the 3rd. That'd be next Tuesday. There's a big court case involving Pennsylvania that will probably be decided maybe tomorrow or the next day. And I think the dominoes at that point will fall for most of these states that are trying to prolong this.
Yes. Well, also, I got a bit of good news today, being a member of Breck Broward Republican Executive Committee. I got some news in that as of earlier today, Miami-Dade County in South Florida, which always, always, always goes blue, the Republicans on the mail-in ballots are actually over 5,500 ahead of the Democrats. And that's a big thing. And it's almost a dead heat in Palm Beach County.
Well, I'll tell you, that is interesting news. Now, I got to ask, did you get that news electronically or did that come by snail mail?
No, that came by iPhone Messenger.
Okay, well, the reason I'm asking, folks, is right before we went on the air, it was mail call at Diane's house. And I swear to God, that blast in Beirut a couple of months ago didn't make as much racket as her opening envelopes near her microphone did tonight.
Well, you know, I had to open it. I had to see what it is. We won't go into what it is by any means. But it was important information that I had a look at.
You know, I get those all the time. They always say Publisher's Clearinghouse on the front.
No,
and then it really turns out not to be that important after all.
No. I don't even open that kind of crap. I just ditch it. No, this was stuff I had to peruse. I didn't know if it was time sensitive or not. And it's not. But at least I got it out of the envelopes.
Yes, you did. Wow.
You heard it every step of the way.
I did. Well, and see, people at home probably don't understand this, but, you know, when you do a radio show like this, an internet radio show, the microphones that you use, they're kind of wide open on the gate, and that means the diaphragm of the microphone is pretty well open. And if you're not talking into the microphone, as Diane and I are now, if you're silent for even, let's say, 5 or 10 seconds, that diaphragm opens up. It's looking for a sound, and then you start tearing envelopes open right near it. Oh, man.
You hear a lot of noise. These are the same kind of mics that the pros use, you know, with the radio stations. So they're extremely, extremely sensitive.
Well, they are. But it was fun to listen to you tearing paper apart.
Wasn't it, though?
Well, look, I don't get out much. What can I tell you? I got to find entertainment where I can. Oh, folks, look. It's going to be a long week, as we said earlier. Next Tuesday night is going to be a long night. We hope you'll join us right here at RSPRadio1.com for live coverage of Tuesday night's election results as they come in. Diane and I will be working that right here at our various desks and doing what we do on election night, what we have a history of doing. And God willing, and the creek don't rise, maybe we can make a call on it by the end of the night.
I think we will be, because right now they're predicting it comes down to 6 states. And right now, President Trump is 3 to 5 points ahead in Florida. Don't listen to Fox News, please. Fox News is not, except for Hannity, Tucker, and Greta, and the early morning Fox and Friends, Greta, I didn't mean Greta. You know who I mean.
Laura Ingram.
Except for them, they're not really in the, you know, on the side of Trump. But it looks like Trump is ahead for sure in Florida, Arizona, and Michigan. But we have to, you know, a week out, we still have to look at it with a grain of salt. However, if it's anything, you know, like Biden's rally, Trump has this locked up.
Well, if you look at rally crowd size, it's not even a contest.
No. In fact, before we went on, I was listening to some of the Biden rally in Georgia. And one thing I noticed is the cameras never take their focus off of Biden. And there's a reason for that. Because, you know, with Trump rallies, you hear all the excitement and the screaming and the crowds. Well, at the Biden rallies, you might hear 6 people clapping.
Yeah, it sounds like it's golf applause, quiet. You know?
Yeah. The rallies he's doing really are for photo ops, and that's all it is. And he was quite incoherent, making no sense at certain points during this Georgia rally.
Not surprising in the least. And you know who else was out on the campaign trail today? For the first time as a solo act, Melania Trump, the first lady, was out there.
Yes,
she was in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Yep, and she did great. People don't give her enough credit. She is a very smart woman. She speaks like 7 languages. Highly educated woman, and you really need to listen to her because she makes a lot of sense.
Now, President Trump, he was in Wisconsin a couple of hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
He is now on his way to the great state of Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
He will be in Omaha, just outside of Omaha, about an hour and a half from right now, holding the rally right near Epley Airfield. It's going to be kind of a combination indoor-outdoor thing. It's actually going to be in a hangar, but the hangar's going to be open.
And you're not there. Why?
Because we're doing a show.
I'm just pulling your chain.
We're doing a show. My friend and our state legislator from this district, Tom Brewer, he's there.
Well,
he and Tony Baker and Mike and Julie from his office, they're all up there right now. So And I told Tom, I said, you know, tell Don we said hi.
Okay.
You know, it's not even Donald. He and I are so close now that.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, he's going to be in Omaha doing a victory rally. You know, Make America Great victory rally right up there in Omaha tonight. So that'll be kind of fun. Look, we've got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. Diane, you're covering Evidence Now Exposed. This is kind of a follow up to what you did last Friday.
Yes, it's the newest revelations about Hunter and Joe Biden.
And their emails and associations and all that.
Yes, and okay. Also Tony Bobulinski, who came forward. And folks, you need to know, this man is a registered Democrat who was given to Democrat candidates, and he has seen the light, so to speak.
He's had enough.
He has had enough, and he's a direct, decorated military veteran. He has a lot of credibility. And from what I understand, he's going to be on Tucker tonight.
Almost for the whole show.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting. I am covering voter fraud, Biden in his own words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got those two segments coming up. But let's start by talking about last night's great news. Judge Amy Coney Barrett is judge no more. She is now Justice Amy Coney Barrett.
Yes. In 52-48 vote, the Democrats, they lockstep together and voted against her. And, of course, Susan Collins, who I believe is going to be now finished in politics.
Well, maybe, maybe not. You know, Maine is pretty blue. She got elected as a Republican in a mostly blue state. So she may not be done in politics, but I'll tell you what, I think Republicans are about done with her.
Well, she's, you know, a true rhino. If she stays, maybe she'll actually change party affiliation.
I don't know. I was surprised, but I wasn't shocked, if that makes any sense.
Yes, with her vote. You were hoping that at the end she'd change, and I told you she wouldn't.
I was hoping, yes. That's why I say I was surprised, but I wasn't shocked.
Right.
Okay. You know, it's one of those weird things. But yeah, 52-48. You know, the vote came down, and boy, they didn't waste any time getting Amy Coney Barrett sworn in, did they?
Well, that's not uncommon. They're usually sworn in the same day that they're confirmed, and then the second ceremony might happen later that day or the next day. But what was different about this second ceremony is that it was not for the public.
Right, and that, too, is kind of standard fare. You know, they do a public swearing in and then they do a private. Now, the public swearing in was held in the Rose Garden last night. President Trump made a few remarks and then he invited Justice Clarence Thomas up and Amy Coney Barrett's husband, Jesse, came up there with the Bible. And there was a swearing in and Amy Coney Barrett then made some remarks. And I thought her remarks were very, very good.
Yes, they were. And you know what's even more amazing? Here it is. You have a black justice swearing in a woman justice on a Bible, and the Democrats still have a problem with it.
Must have been the Bible.
Yeah.
Got it. You know? Yeah, the Democrats have been fit to be tied all day today over it. In fact, Ed Markey, he is a Democrat from Massachusetts. He's a senator. He said something that absolutely lit Senator Mike Lee's hair on fire today. He came out there. I'm looking for the quote here. This is Ed Markey. He says, Originalism is racist. Originalism is sexist. Originalism is homophobic. Originalism is just a fancy word for discrimination.
That's a new one to me. It's not in the Scrabble dictionary that way.
Well, I know, but, you know, apparently it's a fancier word than Scrabble is even aware of. But, boy, it set off Senator Mike Lee today. Yes. He was absolutely peeved.
Yes.
You know, and he said, you know, I've heard some pretty bizarre things over the last couple of weeks, but he said that pretty well took the cake.
Yeah, that's an insult, not only to our founding fathers, but to every single American who cherishes the Constitution and lives by the Constitution. What the Democrats forget is that the Constitution is the law of this land, the Constitution alone. And if they do not uphold their oath that they take to swear and protect, you know, the Constitution, they have no business being up on Capitol Hill.
I agree. You know, there's no place for that. And, you know, Senator Lee, he said, of all the irresponsible and inflammatory statements I've heard over the last few weeks, and I've heard some doozies, this might well be the worst. And he is demanding that Markey retract that statement.
And he has not until this, as far as I know, up until this point.
Well, and I don't think he will.
No. And Chuckie Schumer had a meltdown. You know, the usual cast of characters. And they even made a call, the Democrats made a call, that as soon as we take back the Senate, we're going to put another justice to change the number back in our favor.
Stacking the court.
That's right.
You know, and I mean...
Trump wasn't stacking the court. There was a vacancy on the court, and that's a big difference.
This is the new liberal program now, and Ted Cruz was absolutely correct when he brought this up a couple of days ago, about a week ago. You know, this is the new liberal standard.
Yes.
If you don't like what's going on, you change the rules and you move the goalpost.
Yes. That's why it's critical, guys. The Senate race is just as important, because God forbid Biden would win. If he was rendered impotent in the Senate and the House, it doesn't matter that he's sitting in the Oval Office.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, man. But it's what we've come to expect from the left side of the aisle in these things. You know, what the liberals are saying is, you know, if we can't legislate from the bench because we know we can't get our crap passed on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can't legislate from the bench, we're going to fix it so we can. And if they can't have a majority in the Senate, they're going to fix that too by adding a couple of more states.
Well, as long as they don't get the majority in the Senate, they cannot add the states because they won't get the votes for it.
Right. But, you know, God forbid if they do, and at some point in time, they will wind up being, you know, I hate to say it because I hope it never happens, but the realist in me says at some point down the road, they will wind up being the majority of the Senate, and then Katie bar the door.
Well, you know, at that point, it might be time for a second American Revolution.
Well, if they're going to pervert the Constitution, literally burn it to the ground, and change the rules so that they wind up ruling as a monarchy, then yeah, you're right.
Not as a monarchy, as a dictatorship.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got that to look forward to. But, you know, there's something else going on that I want to talk about in this segment, and that's the situation in Philadelphia. Folks, if you haven't been paying attention, if you've been so wrapped up in the election thing, and who can blame you because, you know, it's a big deal, but Philadelphia was on fire last night. It's going to be on fire again tonight. This is yet a new round of rioting, and again, this has been brought on by a police shooting.
A justified police shooting. 100% justified.
Some guy, some black guy, going nuts in a Philadelphia neighborhood. The guy's mother calls the police.
Mm-hmm.
Police get there, two cops. They get out of the car. The guy comes out of the house, and he's got a knife, and he's waving it around, and he's shouting at them. The police both draw their guns. That's how they're trained. And they repeatedly tell this guy, drop the gun. Drop the gun. Put the gun down. You know, they over and over and over again. You can hear them in the videotape. There's videotape of the entire incident.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the police are kind of chasing him around a car that's parked on the side of the street. As they come around from the front of the car, the two cops walking backwards, they both got their gun on the guy. He comes out from between the two parked cars and starts to rush the police. The police open fire and drop the guy right in the middle of the street.
Now, let's first preface that by saying the police told him countless times to drop the knife.
Yeah.
And he refused and still kept running towards them, lunging at them. The police had every right to do what they did. What is wrong about this whole thing is just because another black man was taken down, the element thinks they have a right to go in and destroy a city. They don't. These people, Craig, are creating a new generation of racists.
Well, and this guy's mother, he's laying there dead in the middle of the street. His mother comes running out there, and she's screaming and carrying on. She pulls off her wig, starts swinging her wig at one of the cops, right? The guy videotaping, oh, my God, he just shot him down right in front of me. You can hear this guy talking on the, you know, through the mic of the camera. And, you know, this is what this is all about. Seriously, the whole thing's on videotape. Clearly, they told him. Somebody else on the videotape also says they didn't even try to de-escalate it. Well, what do you think telling the guy to drop the knife is?
Exactly. And not only that, what these animals, and that's what they are, and my apologies to our four-legged animal friends, what they did was then riot to such a degree that 30 officers have been injured, and one was deliberately run down by, it was either a truck or an SUV. She will survive, but she's got a seriously broken leg. And that was done deliberate. They pointed their van, truck, whatever at her and just ran her down.
Yeah, it was a pickup truck, as I understand it.
Yeah, and, I wasn't sure if it was a truck or an SUV type of thing. But it was a deliberate action. They should be charged with attempted murder.
Yep.
And I'm sorry. Every single thing with these animals now gives them the right to riot, loot, cause mayhem, attempted murder. I'm sick of these people, Craig.
I am too. I am too.
I'm beyond angry.
The situation in Philadelphia is insanity. It's absolute insanity. But here's the good news. The National Guard has been called in.
Right. The White House was monitoring the situation all day, and thankfully they were called in. So maybe tonight will be a less, you know, violent night. The man that was killed, it was in West Philly. His name was Walter Wallace Jr., 27 years old. And what they're using now is, well, he was mentally ill. Excuse me, if he was mentally ill and living at home with mommy, mommy should have kept him inside.
You know, I how are the cops supposed to know? And not only that, what if they did know, okay, which they didn't, but even if they did, the guy's mentally ill and he's coming at him with a knife. There's other people out there on the street. There's onlookers. There's neighbors. There's somebody standing there with their cell phone videotaping it. You know, there's all these people out there. So the guy's nuts. And he comes out of the house with a knife. What if he went after somebody else on the street? What if he stabbed somebody else on the street? Cops supposed to just stand there and watch him?
Call the police.
Sorry, what I'm saying is, should the cops just stand there and watch that?
Well, according to the element, yes, they should. But the question that needs to be answered is, why did mommy call the police? Was he threatening his own mother?
But I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure that investigation is ongoing. And eventually they'll figure that out. But here's the thing. See, if the police show up and the guy's going crazy out there and he grabs somebody on the street and stabs them or slashes them, and the cops are just standing there watching, then the cops are the bad guys because they didn't do anything to stop him. Okay, but they did something to stop him. Now they're the bad guys for stopping him.
According to this element of a minority population, anything related to the police is bad.
Right.
And the problem is the liberals have jumped on that bandwagon, and now that's their new mantra. You know, police are bad, law enforcement is bad, innocent people. The perpetrators are always innocent. And this mentality has got to stop. They are destroying this country. I'm sorry, but I've really had enough of this crap, Craig.
I have too. You know, the quote that's coming out on this now from guess who? Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because, you know, she's eminently knowledgeable of the situation. She says, Walter Wallace's life, like too many others, was a black life that mattered to his mother, to his family, to his community, to all of us.
Well, you know what? His life didn't matter to me. I didn't know him. But the police lives that he targeted did matter. They're just doing their jobs, trying to keep the public safe. And this nutcase, apparently, is what people are saying he was. He's now being morphed into a George Floyd saint.
Yep. He'll be the next one.
Yeah.
He'll be the next one.
It's tiring already, and it's time it stops.
Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be real interesting tonight, and I'm sure that, while other things are going on, we're going to keep an eye on what's happening in Philadelphia because I'm guessing a couple of hundred National Guardsmen there, I'll bet you it's quiet tonight.
I would hope so because I just hope these National Guardsmen are armed and not in there just as a show-up force, but are backed up by force.
Well, the police department in Philadelphia, they're beefing up their operation. They've got backup now from a couple hundred National Guardsmen, and all eyes are going to be on Philadelphia tonight. And if it's quiet, then sending in the guard is the right thing to do. And that shows that Trump was right.
Of course he's right. Of course he's right. And again, the element is destroying their own businesses. It makes no sense.
No, they just want to get on TV.
And they want their free stuff.
Sure. Go out and loot, burn some stuff down, call it a day.
Yeah, take what you can and run.
That's the way it works. All right, folks, look, we got a couple of big segments coming up tonight. Don't forget, next Tuesday night, election coverage live right here with Right Side Patriots at rspradio1.com. Diana and I have been doing this for every election for the past several cycles. We got pretty good at it. So we hope that you will make us your choice for election night coverage Tuesday, November 3rd, coming up a week from tonight, beginning at 7 o'clock Eastern time, right here with Right Side Patriots. Now, about a half an hour from right now, I'm going to be talking about voter fraud, Biden in his own words, but when we come back from this, our bottom of the hour break, and get a station ID in here, Diane's got it with evidence now exposed. The follow-up, the last Friday's article related to Biden, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, the email situation, the whole nine yards. The newest, most updated information on that entire scandal is coming to you in just a couple of minutes. So stay with us. There's more on Right Side Patriots after this. You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, the last week of this long, long election season. Oh, man. I'll tell you something I'm not going to miss a week from now, and that's the political advertising.
You mean the one-sided, lopsided, every station, every internet site loaded with Biden crap and very little from Trump?
Yep, that'd be
it. The ad cycle? Mm-hmm.
Yep, that'd be it. I'll tell you, I'm so sick of political ads right now. However, the political ads have prevented most of the early Christmas ads, so I guess maybe I should be grateful for that.
That's true. You know, it's not even Halloween, but the stores are all loaded with Christmas decorations and trees and everything else, which is kind of pretty.
Too early for me. All right. So last Friday, you started in on the situation with Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, the whole, Biden pay to play thing. And you got done with it and you said, you know what? There's going to be a lot more stuff coming out over the next few days. So you have done a follow-up to that. And I'm guessing you could go on and on with this for months if you'd really wanted to. But tonight you're covering Evidence Now Exposed.
Right. And let's start by saying it's an email scandal of monumental proportions. And just like with Hillary, the media once again remains basically silent as they circle the wagons to protect the guilty parties. And with proof coming out almost daily about Joe Biden and his on-again, off-again, sixth-time-in-rehab, drug-addicted son Hunter, the fact is that the Democrats are trying to cover up one of the biggest political corruption scandals in American history. And here let's begin by saying that influence peddling for introductions does indeed come at a high price. And Hunter Biden most assuredly used his influence with his then vice president dad to not only pad his and his family's pockets, but did so via an enemy nation and his dad blackmailing an ally. And to make matters worse, it was all sanctioned to some degree by then-President Barack Hussein Obama, who not only knew what was going on, but who actually approved some of what was legally or should I say illegally needed paperwork regarding Hunter Biden's foreign business ventures. And while Obama should also be called to task, he, as always, will get a free pass via his use of the race card. After all, the feds fear charging, let alone arresting, America's supposed first black president, for that they know that to do so will see the BLM rioting in mayhem we're continuing to bear witness to being but a cakewalk in comparison. So what exactly has unfolded this week since my article, Evidence Found, Evidence Suppressed, was first published last Tuesday regarding both Bidens? First, as expected, the Democrats claim that Russia set the whole thing into motion. Poor Russia gets blamed for everything, it seems. And while they might be guilty of some things, neither the Biden's email woes nor the Russian collusion nonsense regarding President Trump is of their doing. In fact, John Ratcliffe, the director of national intelligence, last week on Fox's Mornings with Maria, stated that not only are the details of the case and the laptop itself being held by the FBI and not by U.S. intelligence agencies, but that the information contained on Hunter Biden's laptop, quote, is not part of some Russian disinformation campaign, thus hopefully silencing Representative Adam Schiff's claim that the accusations being made are nothing but a, quote, smear campaign created by Moscow. Quote, let me be clear, the intelligence community doesn't believe that because there is no intelligence that supports that, and we have shared no intelligence with Adam Schiff or any member of Congress, Ratcliffe said. And he added that, quote, it's funny that some of the people who complain the most about intelligence being politicized are the ones politicizing the intelligence, end quote. And how right the director is, for it was Adam Schiff himself who not only started the Russian disinformation nonsense with his words on CNN that, quote, we know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. That's been clear for well over a year now, that they've been pushing this false narrative about this vice president and his son. But now Schiff bore the full weight of being warned by Director Ratcliffe not to, quote, leverage the intelligence community for a political narrative that's not true. But thankfully, truth has a way of eventually coming out, for within a few days after the New York Post article was published, the authenticity of Hunter Biden's emails have still not really been disputed by either Joe Biden or his campaign, a campaign which last Monday morning called for a 72-hour media blackout leading up to Thursday night's presidential debate. I guess Uncle Joe and his people needed the time for the media to not just circle the wagons around their boy, but to come up with a doable plan for damage control to make this true October surprise go away. Simply, Craig, not only is Joe Biden in panic mode, but so is the Democrat Party hierarchy, for they know that the China and Ukraine info now being exposed is irrefutable and politically quite damaging.
So it's been a week since you did the first part of this expose, I guess, for lack of a better term. And, you know, there's been a lot of stuff that's come out, and there's been some people that have stepped forward, and we have more details now. So compared to last week when it was, you know, there's a laptop, it was left at a repair shop, and there's all this damning evidence on it. What have we seen as far as that evidence? What are we hearing, and from whom are we hearing it?
Okay, well, let's start with the fact that Hunter Biden's signature has been verified as the one being on both the $85 computer repair slip and the Bill 2 section of said bill. Also, a man by the name of Tony Bobulinski, a decorated Navy veteran and former partner of Hunter Biden, came forward with both a formal statement regarding the Bidens as well as having held a press conference 90 minutes before last Thursday's final presidential debate. In the official statement, Tony Bobulinski, the primary recipient of the May 13, 2017 email chain, as he was the CEO of the company Hunter was forming with the Chinese, quote, corroborated the veracity of the messages, end quote, along with the emails and the outline of the payout made to the big guy, Joe Biden. And Tony also stated that not only did he personally witness Joe Biden discussing business deals with Hunter, but that Daddy Joe Hunter used the words "my chairman" to describe and reference Daddy Joe, and that Hunter, quote, frequently referenced him asking, meaning Joe Biden, for his sign-off or advice on various potential dealings that we were discussing. So why did Bobulinski come forward with this damning information less than 2 weeks before the presidential election? As it goes way beyond just his accusation that the Bidens went behind my back and received millions of dollars from the Chinese, quote, even though they told me they hadn't and wouldn't do that to their partners, end quote. And it does, for while it speaks well of Mr. Bobulinski, who asks, quote, the Biden family to address the American people and outline the facts so I can go back to being irrelevant and so I am not put in a position to have to answer those questions for him, and that I don't have a political axe to grind, I just saw behind the Biden curtain and I grew concerned with what I saw, end quote. Yet the fact remains that Tony Bobulinski is now legally and rightfully separating himself from what in the end might be serious federal charges being brought against not only both Bidens, but others as well. Also, according to Bobulinski, both Hunter and Joe Biden, quote, were putting the Biden family name and its legacy on the line, and, quote, the Biden family aggressively leveraged the Biden family name to make millions of dollars from foreign entities, even though some were from communist-controlled China, end quote. And while Joe Biden loves to call President Trump to task for his being a wealthy man, the difference is that Trump's wealth comes not from influence peddling, but from his being a smart and savvy businessman, doing legitimate and profitable business transactions, while the bulk of the Biden's wealth comes from Hunter selling, with Daddy Joe's permission, the position as vice president to the highest foreign bidder, no matter if said bidder is not America's friend. So, while Tony Bobulinski is now talking and has turned over to the FBI the three cell phones mentioned and shown at his press conference, included on which are email evidence of where Hunter and James Gilliard discussed putting together a deal between Sinohawk, a Biden family company, and China, a deal that must leave, quote, Chairman Joe's name out of it. Note that he soon will also be speaking to Senator Ron Johnson, the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and Craig, he'll be providing Johnson with copies of what was on his cell phones as well.
Now, another thing that seems to be coming out from this is more or less, I guess, for lack of a better term, a timeline. This is nothing new. Did this start when Joe was vice president, or does this have a longer shelf life than that?
Well, nepotism has always run deep within the Biden family. For Hunter Biden was raking in big bucks from his dad's political connections way before he was making deals with countries his then vice president daddy traveled to. In fact, it seems that many of the six-figure jobs Hunter listed on his resume came via Daddy Joe's donors, lobbyists, and political allies when he was a Delaware senator. Want examples? How about a still unnamed Biden associate admitted to finding employment on Wall Street for Hunter to a tune of $1.2 million and did so as a, quote, special favor for the then senator and first time running for President Joe Biden? Remember, this is the second or third time he's run, folks. Even though his fresh out of college son had no high finance experience whatsoever. And what did the associate get in return? How about that? He, like other Biden donors, ended up seeing legislation and policies being passed favorable to their businesses and investments, thus setting the stage early on for the Biden family's unending greed. And then there's this. It appears that dear old Uncle Joe and his son continued to be up to no good in the years leading up to Joe Biden's becoming Obama's vice president. For example, in early 2008, Hunter Biden was working as a paid consultant to a tune of $500,000 retainer spread out over 5 years at the Wilmington, Delaware-based bank holding slash credit card company, MBNA Corporation. At the very same time, his then still senator dad was pushing for the passage of bankruptcy legislation that ended up benefiting his son's then employer. And daddy worked hard to get what became the Bankruptcy Abuse Prevention and Consumer Protection Act passed, even while knowing that said act made it extremely difficult for Americans to get rid of not only credit card debt, but student loan debt as well. For this bill made such loans one of but 10 debts that could not be forgiven when someone declared bankruptcy. And suddenly, lo and behold, Biden's proposed act becomes law in 2005, the very same year Hunter Biden stopped working at MBNA. And isn't it odd that back in 2008, the Uber left rag, the New York Times, alluded in an article that Hunter Biden's consulting job with MBNA created a, quote, potential conflict of interest for Joe Biden, as he was now being vetted as Obama's vice presidential pick. My, how times have changed. For what was considered to be a conflict of interest by the paper back in 2008 suddenly became not such a big matter now, that they wrote back then, quote, consumer advocates and the Democrat allies remain sharply critical of Mr. Biden's actions, saying in recent days that they could hamper the campaign's efforts to attack the Republicans over their handling of the nation's credit crisis, end quote. Odd indeed, for with daddy again running for president, Hunter Biden's influence peddling for mega sums of money, which, Craig, Joe Biden was party to, is now being heralded by the same paper as the Bidens having done nothing wrong.
Man, I mean, when you start listing that kind of stuff off, you just look at this and go, man, this is going on for a long time.
Yes.
This kind of influence peddling and pay-to-play stuff has been going on with the Bidens for a long time. But okay, so those are emails, those are text messages, right, that we're getting this kind of stuff from. What about the photos? Because we keep hearing about photos on that laptop.
Right. Well, it's important that we know that recently a photo surfacing of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden smiling sweetly with Kazakhstan's former Prime Minister Karim Masimov and Kenis Rakishev, a relative and junior partner of oligarch Timur Kulibayev, a man regarded as one of the most influential investors and businessmen in Kazakhstan, but that this cash-soaked and highly corrupt country was a country that Hunter Biden was desperately trying to do business with, and folks, we know why. Also, the FBI claimed in its subpoena, a subpoena signed by FBI Special Agent Joshua Wilson, that Hunter Biden's laptop and hard drive, both in their possession for now over a year, Werbach part of a bigger probe regarding a money laundering operation now referred to as case ID number 272DBA306-5729. But no, the FBI is legally unable to open a case without predication, as in an offense that's part of a larger criminal offense or scheme, but that the FBI obviously did believe there was predication regarding criminal activity on the Biden's part being stored on the laptop and its hard drive. Otherwise, they would not have subpoenaed it. And then there's Tony Bobulinski's emails and text messages themselves showing indisputable proof that Hunter and crew were trying to hide Joe Biden's involvement in his Chinese business deals. And lastly, another photo has recently surfaced, this one showing Hunter Biden's former partner Devin Archer with Daddy Joe at his VP ceremonial office, which is in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, which is on the White House grounds. And it was a photograph featured on Burisma's website in 2014. And it was this very photo that was the subject of an email sent to Hunter and Devin Archer from their associate, Eric Sherwin, where he asked for their help in removing said photo from Burisma's website because Burisma was, quote, uncomfortable with the VP's picture up on their site. A corrupt company, Craig, not happy with a corrupt American vice president being featured on their website. One just has to laugh at the irony in that.
Well, not only that, not only is it ironic, but the simple fact that they're like, you know, this could cause trouble, mm-hmm. right? It tells you there's something wrong there. Right. I mean, there's something wrong with Biden's involvement in Burisma, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because from there, it just goes on and on and on. So where are we legally with this? What is the Justice Department going to do, or what do we think they might do?
Well, right now, with new evidence being exposed by the day, President Trump has called on AG Barr to, quote, immediate launch an investigation into Joe and Hunter Biden, saying that he's got to act, and he's got to act fast. He's got to appoint somebody. This is major corruption, and this has been known about before the election, end quote. And our president is right, for the Bidens seem to be just as crooked as the Clintons, minus the body count list, at least for now anyway. And with the truth about the Biden family being made public, including that Joe's brother James is part of the family business as well, as witnessed by a May 2, 2017 email exchange between James and Bobulinski regarding their having just met with Hunter and Joe to further discuss the deal with CEFC China Energy. The fact is, we are only seeing the tip of the dirty Biden family iceberg. So now, with but 1 week to go until Election Day, Joe Biden can no longer hide from a scandal of his and his son's own doing. And while the liberal media, social media included, continues to collude with the Democrats to silence the truth regarding Joe and Hunter's criminal activities, the fact remains that the Democrat candidate for president has rightfully seen his candidacy seriously compromised. And now it's up to AG Barr to make needed arrests. That is, if he has the courage needed to do so. Case closed.
Okay, so I got to back up here just about a minute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll correct me if I'm wrong, all right? But you put in this op-ed that on May 2nd, 2017, there was an email exchange between James Biden, mm-hmm. that's Joe's brother, and Tony Bobulinski, that's Hunter's partner, right? Regarding their having just met with Hunter and Joe to further discuss the deal with CEFC China Energy. Now, unless I'm wrong about this, Joe Biden has said repeatedly he has never spoken with Hunter about Hunter's business, but yet there's an email exchange that says they just met to talk about that?
Yeah, I have part of that email exchange in the article, as well as the photo and the exchange regarding Burisma and their website, and also other emails from Bobulinski's phone that show they met, their conversations, in addition to the actual press conference of Bobulinski's, and also Ratcliffe's really lambasting Adam Schiff for his lies. I mean, everything that I said in this article is backed up with proof. The actual email exchanges, the videos, and the text phone messages. Biden is lying through his teeth, and the media is not covering the story. And even Fox, only certain factions of Fox are covering it.
Well, and Tucker Carlson's going to be covering it a lot tonight.
Right.
he and Hannity and Laura Ingraham, they've been all over this thing for the past couple of weeks, and I don't see them letting up at all.
It's
very interesting to me when you look, and folks, by the way, if you want to see the photos, you want to see the proof of these things, the grabs of the screenshots and things of some of these exchanges and these emails, and these text messages, what you need to do is you need to go to rspradio1.com. It's the number one, rspradio1.com. Right there on the front page of the website, you'll see Diane's article, Evidence Now Exposed. Click into there, you'll get a link. You go to Diane's blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, and it's all there.
Right. And if you go into the op-ed section, you can see the previous article about evidence being suppressed, where I go into how everything was gathered up, the New York Post article. All the links are there. I have operational links in the article. I don't do something, I don't write something and put it out there unless I have the tangible proof.
This Tony Bobulinski, this guy seems like a treasure trove of information. Now, he's had all this stuff. He was part and parcel of it. But it looks to me like he kept pretty good records of everything that was going on. And that would...
He was a clean guy who got conned by con artists.
Well, yeah, but he saw what was going on. And yes. He didn't like it, and he has made himself, his information, everything available to law enforcement, and he is stepping forward publicly now, which puts him in a pretty tough situation because, I think there's going to be other names that are going to pop up in this that aren't going to be so happy that their names are involved.
Yeah, other people are going to start talking. And the question is, God forbid Joe Biden was to win the election, would an arrest be made if it was definitive, no doubt about it? We know even the Chinese are talking or whatever. Would they have the guts to arrest Biden?
I think so. But I'll tell you, a lot of it is going to depend on one thing. Okay. Who controls the House? All right.
Oh, well, and of course, if it's Pelosi, just sweep it all under the rug, folks.
Well, if it's, you're right. If it's Pelosi, it vanishes. And if Biden should happen to win the presidency, you know damn well his Department of Justice, his Attorney General, will never bring charges on him.
Right.
You know,
why it's important. I think the ultimate October surprise, October 31st, seeing Joe Biden, along with his son, being let out in handcuffs.
I'll tell you, this is not going to go away. I don't care how much the mainstream media wishes it would go away.
Right.
It's not going to go away. There's going to be more and more and more and more evidence pouring out. It ain't Russia. It ain't Russia, Russia, Russia. Sorry, no. Shift for brains. It's not Russia.
And it never was Russia. It was never Russia for Trump, and it's never Russia for the Bidens.
Folks, go to rspradio1.com. On the front page, you'll find the link to the op-ed Evidence Now Exposed. Hit that. It'll take you to Diane's blog at the Patriot Factor. The evidence is coming in. And Diane, I assume as more evidence comes in down the road, you're not done revisiting this particular topic.
I hope I am, but I know I'm not.
There you go. All right, folks, one segment to go. Got to take a top of the hour break here. Also, just want to let you know, at the end of this segment, we got a great song for you.
Yes.
Okay, great song for the last week of this campaign for 2020. We're going to unleash that on you here in about 25 minutes or so. So you stand by. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
OTC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copyus is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Great to have you along with us on a Tuesday night edition of the show. 1 week from tonight is election night. That means 2020 election coverage live with us right here on Right Side Patriots. Don't miss it, beginning at 7 o'clock Eastern time.
Yes.
All right, so I had one thing planned for a segment tonight, for a commentary, but that got changed over the weekend. Joe Biden went out and uttered something that just absolutely shot me straight up. I mean, my hair was on fire, and I thought, are you kidding me? You know?
No.
And I had to put the piece together, and I did it in record time, because literally, I was pissed.
Well,
okay, we're talking about voter fraud, Biden in his own words.
Yes.
So late last week in a Politico interview, Joe Biden said it. He admitted to it. And while many on the left have tried to claim that the snippet of a quote was taken out of context, it wasn't. Sure, Joe's campaign has tried to walk it back, saying it was taken out of context and what he meant wasn't at all what he said. It doesn't alter the fact that he did say it, and it wasn't out of context. The Biden campaign team, which includes the mainstream media, is just trying to exact yet another cover-up on Biden's behalf. Here's the quote that he made last weekend. Quote, seemingly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for President Obama's administration before this, we have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics, unquote. Okay, out of context? Well, here it is in full context, directly from the transcript from Politico. The interviewer, Dan Pfeiffer, asked this, quote, "One final question for you, Mr. Vice President. This interview is going to come out tomorrow, which is early vote day, and so I'm going to ask you a two-part question, which is what I think President Obama used to call pulling a Chuck Todd. So part one, what's your message to folks who have not yet voted or do not have a plan to vote? And part two, for the folks who have already voted, the 50 million Americans who have voted already, what can they do over the next 10 days to help make sure that you're the next president of the United States?" Unquote. You will notice that in that two-part question, voter fraud is not mentioned in any way, shape, or form. So here's the full answer in context. Joe Biden, quote, "Well, first of all, you have to know what really rankles my opponent is I say that the thing that bothers them most is he's not a patch on Barack's jeans. I mean, Barack is one hell of a president. And I tell you, what, man, what an honor it was, I think you guys believe it too, to serve with him. An incredible honor, and I'm not being solicitous. I really mean that. He had more integrity in his little finger than most people have in their whole body, and he had a backbone, like a ramrod has one. But one of the things that I think is the most important is those who haven't voted yet, first of all, go to IWillVote.com and make a plan. Exactly how you're going to vote, where you're going to vote, and when you're going to vote. Because it can get complicated because the Republicans are doing everything they can to make it harder for people to vote, particularly people of color to vote. So go to IWillVote.com. Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for President Obama's administration before this, we have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. What the president is trying to do is discourage people from voting by implying that their vote won't be counted. It can't be counted. We're going to challenge it and all these things. If enough people vote, it's going to overwhelm the system. You see what's happening now. You guys know it as well as I do. You see the long, long lines in early voting. You see the millions of people that have already cast a ballot. And so don't be intimidated. If, in fact, you have any problem, go to, and I don't have the number, but it's 833-DEM-VOTE. The letters D-E-M-V-O-T-E. Call that number. We have our 1,000 lawyers. We have over 1,000 lawyers, over 1,000 of them answering the phone. If you think there's any challenge to your voting, go to 833-DEM-VOTE. Dial those numbers on your phone, and that will get you the assistance that we have already put in place. Unquote. I'm sorry, folks, that's a long quote, but you needed to hear it in context, okay, in full context. And it's very, very bad. Joe Biden literally said, Diane, that he has put together the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. And not only that, he said, you guys did it for President Obama's administration before this. Good Lord.
Well, let's put it this way. What Joe Biden actually admitted is there was voter fraud during the Obama election, which kind of means, did Obama really get elected or was he manipulated into the office? And that they're going to try to do the same thing this time around.
That's a great point. You know, I mean, it. You have to step back, you have to look at the bigger picture, and if they had this voter fraud thing set up for Obama's administration, that means they were utilizing it.
Exactly.
Okay? He says, you guys did this for President Obama's administration before this. Who do you suppose you guys are that Joe's referring to? Exactly. That's exactly right. So what are we supposed to take away from that? Well, the only thing we can take away from it is that the media helped to assemble a big voter fraud organization for the Obama administration before, and now they've assembled the biggest such organization in the history of American politics. And why? Why would a candidate, with the gleeful assistance of the mainstream media, assemble the most extensive, the most inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics? Because they know they can't win on policy. They can't win on the merits of their candidate's past history. They can't win on their agenda. Because they know the only way to beat President Trump is through voter fraud. The mainstream media is claiming that Biden meant anti-voter fraud organization, but that's an outright lie, and they know it. Now, I can say that with certainty because of the very nature of the organization Biden claims to have established. He says that anyone who thinks they see voter fraud in action should call 833-DEM-VOTE, D-E-M-V-O-T-E, which obviously is a Democrat Party apparatus. In other words, anyone who thinks they see chickens being stolen by a fox should call the fox's headquarters to report it. Not only that, but what we've seen so far with regard to voter fraud, or at the very least, the outright potential for voter fraud, is that this election is fraught with it. We have seen tens of thousands of ballots mailed out to the wrong people, and no system in place to rectify that voter fraud potential. In fact, in one district in Pennsylvania, roughly 30,000 ballots were sent to people in a different district. And the liberal candidate is petitioning the court to allow those mismailed ballots to stand and for there not to be any proper counting to make sure that people haven't voted twice. That district that received the ballots they should have never received is a mostly Democrat blue district. And their votes will be counted against the Republican candidate from the other district, and those from the blue district will still be allowed to vote in their own district. That is voter fraud. And how about a ballot drop box in California that was set ablaze, thus destroying all the ballots that were inside of it? That's voter fraud. What about the boxes, the ballots, and ballot requests that have been found destroyed? The ballots we know about that have been found in trash bins, ballot harvesting rackets in Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar's Minneapolis district, where Democrat-paid workers have been illegally gathering absentee ballots from elderly Somali immigrants that was recently uncovered by Project Veritas. Diane, there have been so many counties and so many districts that we have seen that have more people voting than actually live in those counties and districts. And again, in Pennsylvania, Secretary of State Kate Bachvar, a Democrat, has issued a directive to counties that local election officials, get this, are no longer allowed to perform on-the-spot signature analysis. And that means that banks cannot, or I should say that ballots cannot be rejected because an election official believes the voter signature on the ballot envelope is not a match for the signature on file.
Well, you know, to put it in a nutshell, the Democrats are actually encouraging voter fraud. They're saying it's okay, you can vote as many times as you want, you can go to different polling places, you can mail in and then go back on election day and vote, any and everything to get Biden elected. That is overt voter fraud, and he admitted it's going on.
Look, the party of 833-DEM-VOTE, right? Like you said, they're not protecting against voter fraud. They're paving the way for it. and they're covering it up. In Las Vegas, Clark County, biggest county, right? That's Las Vegas. The Registrar of Voters, Joe Gloria, failed to get proper approval in April from the Secretary of State, Barbara Sigeski, for his plan to accommodate observers. Now, there's a lawsuit alleging that there may be an absence of meaningful observation of signature checking in the state's biggest and most Democratic-leaning county. It seems that signatures on Clark County mail-in ballots may not be being checked against voter rolls, and that means that Jane Q. Public could go in on Monday and vote for herself, then send in another ballot on Wednesday signed by her as Mary Q. Public, and again on Friday, signing a ballot as Becky Q. Public, and nobody would be the wiser. That's a potential for, if not outright voter fraud, and that too is being protected by the 833 Dem Vote Party. Clearly, the 833 Dem Vote mainstream media is running cover for all of this by claiming that what Joe meant was anti-voter fraud organization, and by claiming there is no potential for voter fraud while scoffing in the face of actual voter fraud. Liberal-led pandemic panic has purposefully created the potential for mass voter fraud by insisting that it's not safe to vote in person, and it's driven the supposed need to go to mail-in voting systems, for which most states are either ill-prepared or not at all prepared. So here's another question. How many folks that already voted by mail are going to turn out and vote in person as well? And will we ever know if someone voted more than once in this election? Look, finally, let's add in yet another factor to the equation. Joe Biden's comatose campaign. While President Trump is hopscotching the nation, making campaign stops sometimes up to 3 a day, and being met by crowds of tens of thousands at every stop, Biden's been hiding in his basement, making maybe one or two campaign stops in a given week, being met by crowds of maybe 10 or 20 people. Last weekend, Biden held a rally in Pennsylvania with Bon Jovi playing live to a crowd of about 12. I suspect Bon Jovi plays to bigger crowds than that when he sings in his own shower. With the election now just a week away, Joe Biden and his campaign are comatose. Why? Why would Biden be taking things this easy, given the importance of this election? I could tell you why, but I think Joe Biden can probably say it better. We've assembled the most extensive, most inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. That's why.
That is why. He thinks he has this election won. But the problem with Joe Biden, it's the same problem Hillary had. They did not count on Election Day. When we Republicans, the silent majority, turn out en masse, I am talking about, you are going to see the biggest turnout ever. It's going to be bigger than it was in 2016. And let me tell you something else, folks. As per Fox News this morning, if you did a mail-in ballot and you're a Democrat or even, unfortunately, a Republican, an anti-Trumper that voted for Biden. If with all the revelations that have come out of late about the Bidens, if you wish to change your mail-in ballot in certain states, you can do so. How you do it is you go to the polling place on Election Day. You tell them that you already sent in a mail-in ballot, but you would like to change your vote. They take down certain information, and you are given a new ballot to vote. It's not in every state. You have to check with your state about it, but it is in many states in this country. Don't let the Democrats tell you you cannot change your vote, because you can.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
Okay. I think a week from tonight, President Trump wins.
Okay, I've been making that prediction all along.
Yeah, but you got to let me finish.
Okay.
I think he's going to win by a bigger margin than he beat Hillary.
I think so,
and I think, and I think immediately after that victory, I think Joe Biden is going to do what the Democrats have been planning all along. And they have set this up. The history of it is there. Okay? Russia, Russia, Russia. Right?
Okay.
The first aspect of Russia, Russia, Russia was the collusion thing.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out it was the Democrat Party that was colluding with Russia,
right.
Russia, Russia.
Right.
Then it was the Ukrainian phone call, and it was quid pro quo. But it turns out it was the Democrat, Joe Biden, that was doing the real quid pro quo. Now,
right.
Now, when Trump wins next Tuesday, it will be the Democrats come out and claim Trump cheated and was committing voter fraud, even though they know damn well they're the ones that are doing it.
Of course. They're going to say, oh, Putin helped Russia, Trump win again. This one helped Trump win again. It's going to be, it's the voter fraud on the Republicans' part. And now Amy Coney Barrett is going to say he won. Oh, Craig, we know that's coming.
I'm telling you.
You know what? Let him throw everything at it. It's not going to change the result. Donald Trump will be president for the next 4 years.
I absolutely agree with you. Okay. This is going to be a wild Donnybrook of a night 1 week from tonight, folks.
Yeah. And guys, expect riots. Expect the BLM crap to look like a walk in the park when Trump wins. And you know, Biden's not going to give in. Remember, Hillary told him, do not concede under any conditions. It's going to be a nightmare.
It's going to get wild. You want to be right here with Right Side Patriots. Diane and myself, we're going to do the coverage live right here on Right Side Patriots 1 week from tonight, beginning at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Folks,
right.
If you want my commentary from tonight, go to rspradio1.com. It's on the front page there, right there at the home page. Click on that. It'll give you a link. You go to my blog, The National Patriot, and there it is. Voter fraud, Biden, in his own words, I've got the video of him talking about the voter fraud. It's in the article.
Yes. Now, Craig, let's tell people that on Friday's show, we're going to do our last push, basically, to not only get people to the polls on Tuesday, but also in support of President Trump.
That's right. So, boy, oh boy. You know, this is going to be a busy week. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on this week.
Mm-hmm.
We will have those final election 2020 articles, the lead-up articles coming out for Friday's show. They'll be actually be published on Thursday,
right.
and we'll do them here on the show on Friday. And then you and I get to rest up for the weekend because Tuesday's going to be a long day.
Yes, it is. It's going to be very long. But you know what? In a way, it's exciting, but it's nerve-wracking at the same time. And I drive through my small town, and when I see Biden signs, I'm like, are these people that stupid? Are they really, really that stupid?
Apparently.
Yeah. Or have they just drank so much of the Obama Kool-Aid that they're still full and it's passing over to the Biden Kool-Aid? I don't know. I just cannot understand how educated people can even consider voting for Joe Biden and his... what should we call her? VP choice.
Joe and
I'd like to use.
Joe and the hoe?
Yeah, Joe and the hoe. Yeah. I mean, how can educated people even consider voting for them. It amazes me. I don't understand their mentality.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be a sprint to the finish. From here to next Tuesday, it's a sprint to the finish, folks. Just sit down, hold on to something, and buckle up.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough night.
It's going to be a tough one. But folks,
unless Craig, when those polls close, unless the key six states come in for Trump right away, then it will be over.
Time will tell.
Yes.
Time will tell. Folks, we want to thank you for being a part of the show. If you missed any part of it tonight, you can always go to rspradio1.com, click on the podcast button, and become one of the pod people.
Yes, and the podcast will be up tomorrow morning.
There you go. Well, I promised you we were going to leave you with a song. Somebody has recorded a great song in honor of President Trump, in honor of this election, and you'll even hear some Sleepy Joe in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so folks, we're going to leave you with this tonight. Diane, I think it's time for you and I to say goodbye.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you on Friday.
Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Speak softly and carry a big stick. I promise you, the president has a big stick.
And it happens to be, as Barack says, the three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Trump's the toughest around, and I know, voter, just how you feel. You got to troll through the fake news to get to what's real. I ain't mailing in no ballot, gotta get down to a voting machine. Keep the American dream and make the Democrats scream. Oh, gotta vote Trump. Donald J. Trump. Go ahead, vote Trump. Let's read. Joe Biden, how you been? They say you don't know what day it is or what state you're in. But you'll be raising taxes, banning guns, and popping for a leftist machine. Yeah, they're the worst that I've seen. But we can see through the scheme. Oh, gotta vote.
That saves billions of gallons of gasoline. I mean, billions of 2.3 billion dollars worth of, excuse me, $500 billion in savings and 2.something billion metric tons of CO2 going in the air.
Well, folks, eliminate one tax loophole out of $1.6 trillion worth, $1.4 trillion worth, out of $1.4 trillion. It's hard to even say it so much. And by the way, it's cost a lot of money. It cost about $740 billion.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the goal. You know the thing.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
We choose truth over facts.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate.
I've got to vote Trump. Donald J. Trump.
C-3PO. Or B-O-O. Wait, wait, wait.
Will you ever run for political office again?
No. No.